favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good afternoon. Welcome to today's webinar on the subject of the Rios Standard Overview. My name is Austin Matthews. I am the EHS Program Manager with PJR. On this first slide, I have a brief agenda for the format in which today's webinar will follow. We will begin by speaking a little bit about PJR, who we are, what we do. We'll cover some benefits to Rios certification. We'll cover the requirements to the standard at a high level. Then we will get into some more detail with a standard overview and a clause by clause review. We'll close with a summary of the certification requirements for the certification process. This is more geared towards new clients who would be achieving initial certification to overview what that process looks like there at the end, and we'll close with questions. Feel free to type those into the question field at any point during the presentation, but I will save those for the end. Perry Johnson Registrars is one of the leading registrars in the world. We have certified companies to a variety of standards. This list is not all inclusive, but it certainly gives you an idea of our global presence as a certification body, listing companies in which we have certified clients. PJR is accredited to grant certifications for a wide variety of standards, as I mentioned on the previous slide. Obviously, today we're discussing Rios specifically, but some of these other standards could possibly look familiar to you, depending on your industry. Benefits of certification vary by industry, by standard, by location, a number of factors. These benefits are examples of common themes or common trends with the Rios standard of certification. Improving an organization's quality, environmental health, and safety performance is pretty much at the core of the Rios standard, since it encompasses the quality, environmental, and health and safety facets. In going through the process of meeting the requirements of the standard, including those QEHS expectations, it comes with the minimization of quality, environmental, health, and safety risks. The Rios standard includes requirements for controlling processes associated with material sourcing and outsourcing controls. So in implementing the requirements of the standard, we drive improvements to those processes just by nature of implementing the standard criteria. Similarly, improvement is driven in the areas of management commitment and employee engagement because those expectations are set forth within the standard itself. Being able to advertise a certification or multiple certifications can often provide a competitive advantage over clients or competitors, who do not hold similar certifications. And even if there isn't necessarily a competitive advantage over someone else bidding for the same job, being able to advertise the certifications can also provide a more positive public image or improve public image if sustainability or responsible recycling has not been at the forefront of the image in the past. In addition to those competitive advantage areas that we just discussed, in some areas, in some industries, you could also see reductions in insurance premiums, perhaps, or inspection frequencies related to maintaining certifications like RIOS that are factoring in or accounting for example, the health and safety component. Implementing the requirements of the standard creates a framework for meeting customer and/or regulatory requirements as applicable to the organization. The standard itself represents a commitment to the responsible management of recyclables. So again, that commitment can be advertised in conjunction with the certification. And the standard is able to be integrated with other management system certification standards. A common example might be the R2 standard for those of you that are recycling electronics specifically. At a very high level, some of the key requirements in RIOS 2016, especially compared to its predecessor, RIOS 2006, include an emphasis on leadership, focus on proactivity and risk management, emphasis on outcomes of the management system itself, rather than perhaps focusing on updating the minutiae of the management system itself. So greater focuses on the outcomes, the effectiveness of the system. Communication and awareness requirements are key as well. This includes stakeholder and customer requirements as well. Communication and awareness of relevant personnel are of great importance in the RIO standard. Change management. There is some overlap between change management and the proactivity we discussed earlier on this slide. Change management is a process or an expectation that we'll discuss in more detail further in the presentation, but that is, again, integral to the RIOS expectations. Some general information I wanted to share. In terms of obtaining a copy of the standard, this can be done through RIOS. This isn't something that PJR can supply, but it's important to have a copy of the standard to be able to identify the requirements, implement them effectively, things like that. Another piece of information I wanted to share is the requirement introduced in RIOS 2016 for NCRs, even minor NCRs, during a recertification audit to be closed with evidence of implementation before being accepted by the auditor. So what this means is that whereas for a surveillance audit, perhaps we can accept in response to an NCR a plan to address a finding with specific tasks, if that plan is acceptable and will be implemented by the next audit. Recertification audit findings, however, will need to be completely implemented. They'll need to be closed. Before we are closing out that recertification audit, issuing a certificate, and initiating a new cycle, we need to see that those findings are fully closed. Another requirement new to RIOS 2016 is for the auditor to be replaced every recertification audit. So every 3 years, you'll have a fresh set of eyes on the system. An annual membership is required to be maintained for REO certification. And the standard stipulates certain processes or expectations which are required to be sampled annually. I've listed those here, and this is something that we manage as part of our audit process. Okay, so getting into some more of the detail, we'll look at more of a clause by clause review of the standards contents, focusing on some of the more key elements. So not necessarily every clause and every requirement, but certainly an overview of the key expectations. The introduction section of the standard includes notes, a reference to notes found throughout the standard that give guidance, that offer clarification, but are not in and of themselves auditable. So you'll see those throughout the standard. Clause one focuses on general requirements, including scope expectations. The standard requires in section 1.1 that outside providers be considered as part of the scope. An example of an outside provider would be a contractor, but certainly there are a whole host of other groups or individuals that may fall under that outside providers category. This will not apply to all facilities or all businesses, so I'm not going to spend additional time here, but just note the need to consider those activities in the scope. REOS outcomes. In section 1.1.1, this section outlines the implementation expectations, including intended outcomes, and includes a call for proactivity on the REOS organization's part. 1.2 focuses on the infrastructure of the Quality Environmental Health and Safety Management System. The beginning of this section assigns the need or the requirements for responsibilities to be allocated. So this covers assigning relevant responsibilities. It identifies a management representative, a term to be applied to a specific person. And it also emphasizes the need for management to be committed, to be involved and accountable. This is emphasized in this first part of section 1.2. It's up to management to ensure that resources are allocated sufficiently to ensure the intended outcomes of the management system. Document and record keeping controls are found in 1.3. And for anyone who's familiar with ISO 14001, 2015, the changes are similar here. So documentation can take a number of forms. There's some flexibility here to adapt to more modern methods of maintaining documents, records, things like that. Clause two focuses on policy requirements, and this is related to evaluating impacts and risks, annual reviews, that management commitment we touched on, and a few other items. So all of these would need to be part of the policy expectation. Clause three focuses on planning. We begin with the REOS footprint identification in 3.1, and this encompasses, again, the quality, the environmental, and the health and safety facets. We also see the the expectation for proactive planning accounted for in 3.1. The assessment to identify the Rios footprint needs to include all aspects of the organization's impact on the quality environmental health and safety management system. This includes purchasing, source material acquisition, transport, delivery, and more. It's also to include the positives. It doesn't have to focus on solely on negative impacts. If there are some positive attributes or contributions, those can be included as well. The intent of the Rios footprint is not to create this once and never touch it again. This is intended to be kept up to date, to be reviewed for changes, to be assessed or considered before making any changes that could impact the management system. So this comes back to the proactivity expectation as well, to ensure that we're being proactive, we're looking at the connection between the changes planned and the impact on the management system before that change is made, so that appropriate controls can be put in place and negative impacts avoided, rather than reacting to the negative impact that could possibly result from those changes. We want to be proactive rather than reactive. Section 3.1 is broken down into several subsections where we look more closely at the different facets. So we see a section for important quality risks, which requires the organization to identify and control risks affecting quality, product quality, and or service quality. And I want to note here that the risk is the effect of uncertainty. It can be positive or negative, and I've listed some examples to get you kind of thinking along those lines. There's also environmental impacts and health and safety risks addressed in each of their respective subsections. The footprint also includes legal requirements. Some of these could translate to product requirements, and the controls do need to be documented. There are also product, service, and or customer requirements that would also require documentation and to be taken up, to be factored into the footprint. Some of these also need to be monitored, and those methodologies would need to be identified as well. Other stakeholder requirements would need to be identified. The stakeholders themselves need to be identified, as well as the respective stakeholders' expectations or requirements. Controls need to be implemented. This should be reviewed annually for changes. And you can take a look at the stakeholder definition for some examples. Improvement planning is covered in 3.2. Establishing goals, planning for the achievement of the goals, those are addressed within 3.2. This includes the need to have written plans that identify specific tasks, specific resource needs, to assign responsibilities and due dates, as well as methods for evaluating the results. How will you know whether the goal has been achieved? change management is addressed in section 3.3. And this does require a written plan or expectation. And this is the concept of reviewing the footprint before making changes that could affect the quality, environmental health, and safety management system. So you're going to plan those changes in advance and essentially identify whether any perceived impacts can be avoided with prior planning, with implementing controls, rather than, again, as I said earlier, reacting to the impact those changes have. Clause 4 focuses on implementation. We talk about recycler knowledge and competency in this section. We cover awareness in this section. And we also get into communication expectations. The competency requirements are to be identified by the organization with records maintained as evidence of those competency requirements being met, as well as any actions taken to verify effectiveness, excuse me. And this is to the extent relevant to the management system's ability to meet the intended outcomes. So perhaps some personnel will have different competency requirements than others. Awareness topics and requirements are identified in 4.1.2, and 4.2 requires documented plans for communication. This could include customer communication, supplier communication, outside supplier communication, external communication, and these are found within section 4.2. Operational controls are addressed in section 4.3. This includes sourcing materials. How are supplier requirements or controls implemented? This includes outsourcing, so outsourced providers, products and services. What criteria are used to control those expectations, similar to purchasing controls? And this is, again, to the extent relevant to its potential impact on the quality, environmental, health, and safety outcomes. Quality controls are addressed in 4.4, requiring the documentation of any specifications or criteria that are relevant. And then 4.5 and 4.6 follow suit with environmental and health and safety controls, respectively. Emergency planning is covered in section 4.7. This is where the emergency plan and any response expectations would be addressed. And these plans need to be communicated as relevant in accordance with the communication expectations in 4.2. Clause 5 addresses the checking and the corrective action expectations. 5.1 houses the monitoring expectations to be detailed and planned. What items will be monitored? How will they be monitored? How will they be measured? This includes as well the compliance evaluation for the Quality Environmental Health and Safety Management System. And this does include annual evaluation of requirements. And there is verbiage in this section related to the competency requirements for the person or people who will evaluate compliance for an organization. So take a look at that as well to ensure that whoever has been identified to complete those compliance evaluations meets the competency expectations. Five 5.1.3 houses maintenance and calibration expectations. The monitoring and measurement results are analyzed according to 5.1.4 and considered as part of the management review. And 5.2 houses the non-conformance, corrective, and preventive action expectations, such as how environmental health and safety incidents will be managed. How will they be investigated? This is to include even near misses based on the definition of incidents and the proactive expectations of the RIO standard. Internal audits are required annually. And when you're getting ready for your initial certification or recertification audit, at a minimum, make sure that those are done prior to the third-party audits like PJR conducts, so that the outputs of those internal audit, those reports, the results are available for review during the audit. Clause 6 specifies inputs and outputs that are required as part of the management review expectations. So take a look at Clause 6 to ensure your management review process takes all of those into account. For any organization pursuing initial certification for the first time, here's an outline of the certification process that I'll go through very quickly. The first step would, of course, be obtaining the standard so you know exactly what requirements you're being expected to implement. You'll establish the documentation. You will train to the requirements. You will implement the requirements, including conducting an internal audit, conducting a compliance evaluation, conducting that management review we discussed. You'll need a contract with a certification body to conduct your audits, such as Perry Johnson Registrars. For initial certification, you will complete a stage one audit, followed by a stage two audit. You'll address any resulting nonconformities, if there are any, before a certificate can be ultimately issued. I mentioned the stage one and the stage two audits. The stage one audit is primarily a documentation review to ensure stage two readiness. Stage two, on the other hand, is a full system audit of the entire management system. All the processes, all of the shifts would get sampled to assess the effectiveness of the system's implementation and whether or not the standard requirements are being met. Again, any nonconformities would need to be resolved prior to certification. Once a certificate is issued, it is good for 3 years. So the following 2 years substantiate the surveillance audit portion of the cycle. These can be annual or semi-annual audits over the following 2 years. Shorter in duration typically than a stage two, they represent partial system audits versus the full system audit that is the stage two process. And the third year in the cycle is the recertification audit, similar in nature to a stage two, where we are conducting more of a deep dive, getting a snapshot of the entire system and resolving any nonconformities before a certificate can be issued and the cycle starts again. Are there any questions? Feel free to type them out. I'll put my contact information slide up while we do that. So I can be contacted via the main PJR number. They could put you through to my extension, or perhaps even easier, just send me an email if you have any technical questions. You can also contact Rios as well, but here's my contact information nonetheless. And if you are a prospective client looking for a quote for certification, you can utilize the sales department number as well. So let me see if there are any questions being typed. I'm not showing any questions. I'll hang out for another moment, but in case anyone's ready to log off, thank you for joining us today. I hope the content's helpful. A recording of today's webinar, as well as a copy of the slides, will be made available on PJR's website for your reference. If you have a Rios audit coming up, I wish you the best of luck. Feel free to reach out to me if you do think of any questions. And since I don't see any in the chat right now, I will go ahead and end today's webinar. Thank you again for attending, and I hope you have a great weekend.